Good evening and welcome to Tuesday Topics. I'm Paul Edwards in Miami, Florida, and it's a pleasure to welcome you to Tuesday Topics one more week. Let me begin, as I often do, by thanking everyone who's here for making Tuesday Topics happen. Without your presence, we wouldn't have a program. Second, let me obviously thank Dave Williams, or whatever of his little elves are actually doing the editing of this program and turning it from the chaos that we leave behind us into a palatable program that can be broadcast on ACB radio. And third and last, let me thank those who are recording, Rachel and perhaps some others. But at the moment, also let me thank the folks at Talking Communities, and in particular George Byes, for making this program available to us so that Tuesday Topics can happen. This evening on Tuesday Topics, we're discussing a subject that is intriguing. And I want to begin with a kind of a warning. I don't perceive this program as an opportunity for people to dump on the makers of access technology. We are exploring an issue, and that issue is, what ought the relationship be between software developers or hardware developers who work in the blindness field and the consumers who use them? What do we have a right to expect from these folks, and what do they have a right to expect from us? Because I think it is a two-way street. I want to be clear that I don't expect us to get sidetracked into lengthy discussions of what such and such a company did to me over a long period of time. Certainly, you're welcome to talk about what happened to you as a principle, as an idea, i.e., the folks at customer service are really rude, or they didn't provide me with good answers. I guess I'm saying to everyone that I perceive this as an opportunity to explore intellectually and probably emotionally a very difficult set of questions, because the blindness field is not an easy one to operate in. And I suppose that it might be interesting to start from the other end of the spectrum and not ask what we should expect from access technology providers, but what should access technology makers expect of their customers? Let's start there instead, because I think it's going to be interesting to begin our focus there. So we have a number of new folks. I'm sure I'm going to miss loads of folks, but we have Jeff Turner, we have Joe from Boston, we have some old friends like Anicio Correa and Brian Charlson, Anicio from Maine, Brian from Boston, Watertown, and we have Karen Idle and Rachel Bader, a number of other folks who I'm sure will hear, and I will try to identify them later, since I know I've left some folks out. There's a Steve who's just joined us. So let me open it to one of the new folks, perhaps Jeff or Joe or Steve. If one of you guys would like to jump in with a response to my question, that is, what should makers of access technology products expect of their customers?
Paul, it's Joe McKeithy, I should have said my last name, from Boston. That is a hard question to answer. I knew you were going to do that. The only thing I can say, and that's why I wish we could have started at the other end first, what the access technology makers expect from us, I don't know, because they don't really seem to understand our problems, nor do they care. And I don't think I'm being unfair. I'm not trying to dump on them, but you have to call a spade and a card a card. I know when I got into this field, I spent a lot of money, and there was literally no help with computers or very little help. And if there was help, it was enormous cost. Karen and I spoke about this. We were on one of the other chat rooms. We were really going at it with a few people. some people, and some here, and some disagree with this. They feel that they have to make a profit, which they do. But I think if access technology people would open their mind and understand, then they would have a lot they could expect from us. They could expect that they could we could work with them in the industry. We could work in jobs. I like the comment that was made in Texas by, I'm not sure if it's Lapdog or something. And it may seem kind of unfair, but I don't think so. He says, why should we have to pay all this money for screen readers and stuff when they don't work right? I mean, the right idea is that they build this stuff and they want us to be part of it, but it's horrifically expensive. And he says, I should be able to go into a store, and I agree with him, by the way, folks, and buy a computer, and it should have it all built in from the ground up. I've talked about this before with a lot of other people. And I think the access technology, Paul, people would be able to see our abilities. And I think each one of us that speaks would mention our name after we press the control key, so the audience would know who it is. And that's how I perceive it. I can't say much more about that part of the discussion tonight, except because they really have a hard time understanding it, our problems. And there is so many problems with a lot of the technology, upgrades and money and breaking down and stuff like that. So that's as good as I can get. You had to make it tough, but that's okay. Thanks.
Hi. If I could make a point, this is Larry Wenger from Phoenix. I appreciate what you just said about being able to walk into a store and buy a computer with this technology on it. I did that just last week. I went and purchased a new Macintosh G5. And it's kind of groundbreaking. They've got the speech technology, the screen reader in there, and magnification, and all of those features that all of us need. And it's a learning experience for me. I've moved from a PC to using a Mac, and it's an adjustment. But I've been able to walk into a store and purchase a computer, and I've got a screen reader at no extra cost, and I'm eager to see where this technology goes and what will happen with this. Related, though, to these technology companies that make products so that computers and high-tech things are accessible to us, they do need to make a profit. They're not subsidized by the government. They're not, getting funding, per se, that would make it otherwise possible for them to be successful. Now, I do have problems with the fact that I just purchased, for example, an upgrade to, and now I'm hearing another one's coming out that I'll have to buy. And so this is an issue for me, that frequently something will come out, and then 6 months later you got to drop. If you want to stay current, you've got to drop a couple hundred more dollars to keep up. And I would like to see some kind of changes with that. But these businesses, they are businesses, and we need to realize that. But there are different models, and I'm really actually excited about what Apple's done in terms of the screen readers in the box, and you don't need to drop another $800. And we're on version 1.0, and it's an excellent product, and we'll see where it goes. Enough of my product promotion, sorry.
This is Mike Calvo. I think that both of you raised some great points, and being kind of the new kid on the block when it comes to an adaptive technology company, I think that in defense of my older brothers in the industry here, the problem is, folks, that there's been a serious paradigm shift in the market where originally these products actually were funded by the government to be developed because the people who would buy them were voc rehab. As the cost of computers have come down, as the need for computers in people's everyday lives have also gone up, as opposed to before, a blind person would really use a computer at home, rarely. They would mostly use it at work, and then when they went home, they would listen to talking books or what have you. Now, of course, with so many different alternatives on the market for us to access the computer, we don't just want it at the workplace, and the computer makes our daily living so much easier. So the cost of this adaptive technology that was originally created for vocational rehabilitative purposes has really, the costs kill us, and even the upgrades. And you know, as the market changes, these companies are driven to put out update after update, not only to meet the needs of their SMAs, but also to also really realistically keep up with the changes that the mainstream community demand out of a product. It's almost like the mainstream doesn't care what the feature is. As long as there's a new feature, you know, give it to me, whether it's ready or not. And if you make it a day late, then you've got a serious problem. And it's really hard to maintain that at the adaptive technology level sometimes.
This is Brian from Boston. I think that we as consumers can do two things and have a responsibility, in my opinion, to do two things when it comes to access technology companies and our relationship with them. One is to respect the contract that is the licensing agreement. I see too many people attempting to work their way around that scenario, and the end result of that is even more restrictive cockamamie schemes to keep you from bootlegging software. I think that drives the price up, and I think it drives the process by which licenses are done, makes it a more cumbersome process to do installs and maintenance and those kind of things. The second thing I think we need to do is to be honest with the companies about what features we need versus what features we want. There are a lot of features in these screen readers, screen magnifiers, scanners, et cetera, while they're really neat. The question is, do we need them or do we want them? And I think that we could help keep the price down if we made that difference.
Hi, this is Steve and Kennebunk, and it's been a great experience listening to everyone speak about some of these issues. I think getting back to the question, what can these companies expect from consumers? As consumers, we're probably going to continue demanding more and grumbling more about the price. I, too, agree that the companies need to make a profit. I don't know what profit these folks are making, but I'd like to hope that it's a reasonable profit. I recognize that the market shares has been small, although with visually impaired, I think the market share is probably getting much greater because of the demographics, which is probably why Macintosh decided to jump in and add those items to their operating system. And I was glad to hear about the one user who had tried the Mac. I haven't tried it, but I was just curious how those features stacked up to some of the ones that you pay $600 and $700 for. The other point I wanted to briefly touch on is that I think we as consumers are, in a way, guilty of constantly grabbing the next upgrade and insisting that we need X, Y, and Z added to the software. I think if we insist on a product that works, for example, the older version of ZoomText works on some of my XP installs, and some of them it doesn't. This is 7.1. But by and large, 7.1 works well once it's installed on XP. The new version of 9 has got a couple of other good features, but you know, basically it does what it's supposed to do in version 7.1 well. And you know, I don't feel the need to constantly upgrade. And thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight.
Hi, gentlemen. I like that. Joe here from Boston. If I may just capitalize a little more on what you said. I agree with you, Mike, and I think the government should be involved. You're involved in the field. But I think that profit bit, and I'm not saying this to be mean, and I am very glad that Apple is doing this. I think you said 7.1, I don't know whether you meant JAWS or something. But now, two things. Kurzweil and other products, from what I was told, doesn't work with Apple. All these products should be made to work with one another. Now, I think that the profit these people are making is quite a bit, because when Blasey owned the company, he did well, and he's living very well now. I think that we are forced to buy the upgrades, and it seems though you're blaming the consumer. I'm not trying to be unfair, Larry, but I stick up for the consumer, because for instance, I don't want to get 7.0 or JAWS because I was first of all, it's too expensive for me. I was also told that eventually you're going to they're going to make it so that 5 or something like this won't work. There are still people that have Windows 98 and Windows 2000. And also, when you have to buy the professional version, which is of some of these products, it just has a different authorization key. They raise the price. I think it should be mandatory. Yes, they can make a profit. It's like a doctor. He doesn't have to be a millionaire or $250,000 a year to live. He cares about his patients. So, you know, it's like these executives that make Enron. They stole the money, all the people's money, and they made their profit, and then they went bankrupt. Supposedly, some of these companies are in bankruptcy. Well, their product is all over the world. I just think that Freedom Scientific is one of them that brushes stuff out too quickly. And I think that computers should be made with screen readers in them. All the products should work. They should get the bugs out before. They should have blind people working with the sighted people. And if you don't get it, buy the upgrade, like Microsoft, one thing I will give them credit for, even though I don't like them, is they don't charge for their Windows upgrades. Another topic you mentioned that I wanted to touch on is about people going around the licensing. I think it's you, Brian. Well, that is because, when you see the license, it says we're not responsible for your computer and stuff like that. You don't own the product. You do own the product. You bought it. You paid $1,000. You don't have the right to give it to anybody. I'm not going to say who amongst us has given products that we have purchased. They can't call the tech office because some of the people don't have the money. A lot of the state agencies won't help you if you're not employed. And I think that there should be some arrangements for this. This is why these things happen. This is why people are bootlegging around. And the more these companies do this, in my opinion, and you can all comment on this, the more this is going to happen. If it were something like this, you do own the product. You have the right to use it as you wish, as your best. If you wish to give the product to somebody else, please inform us. Maybe a small fee to transfer the license, or you can give a few copies away with our permission, maybe a few dollars. Not this horrible, horrible, horrible thingamajig. They're going to prosecute you, and they're going to do this, and we're not responsible if we crash your computer. And that's exactly what some of the product says. We incur no liability, blah, blah, blah. I think that's wrong. I think this is why this happens. And I just wanted to finish up on this and let some other people comment we haven't heard for. Joe McKeesey in Massachusetts.
Hi, it's Anisia from Maine. Where do I start? I think that, you know, it's so easy for us, I think, sometimes to criticize excess companies when, in fact, they are just responding to market pressures and market demands. I mean, if I'm in my work environment, if we, every time Microsoft comes up with a new upgrade to their Office suite, which is often, I'm not sure if it's every year or whatever, but, you know, I went from Office 98 to 2000 to 2002 to 2000 to Office XP and now 2003, and I'm sure there must be a 2005 that I don't have yet. I would be really upset if my Office upgraded to the latest Office version and JAWS was not able to support it, which would be the case if they didn't come up with the updates. Now, the only way they're going to be able to come up with the updates is not just, it's not only if my Office purchases it, but other people purchase it. Because, I mean, I don't think these people are making enormous amounts of money. I know way back, some of you old timers will remember, when Microsoft came up with Internet Explorer, I believe it was 4.1. Boy, this sounds like a long time ago. And JAWS was not ready for it. And partly it was Microsoft's problem and lack of sharing or whatever with Freedom Scientific and other vendors. But those of us who were using JAWS with Windows at that time and were excited about using Windows were really upset. And so the question of, you know, sometimes JAWS comes out too quickly. Yeah, I mean, Freedom Scientific, it does. I'm sure WinnerWise does too, because so does Microsoft. And if they didn't, those of us who are used to not getting the latest JAWS just because we like all the fancy stuff, in most cases I don't even use it, but because we want it to work and work well with the Office suite applications. And I'll just say one more thing, in terms of what, if I were in the excess technology industry, what would I expect or would want to expect from my customers? One of the things would be when they call me to ask questions about my product that they didn't necessarily expect that I knew everything about other products, including Microsoft products. You know, I just give you an example. I called Dell this past weekend because I had a problem with my computer. All of a sudden, didn't boot up. You know what? They did a wonderful job with me. They helped me boot up the computer, figure out the problem. But I bet you if I asked them anything about what about Microsoft or about Outlook Express or whatever, they would have no idea about that. And I think sometimes we expect of these technology vendors and their tech support just way too much knowledge. And I've done it myself where I've called them to find out, you know, how come JAWS doesn't work with Microsoft Outlook 2003 calendar. And sometimes I know I'm talking about a feature of the calendar I use that they never used themselves. And I don't know that I could expect them to do. I know I rambled on a little bit, but I feel a lot of empathy for these guys.
Hello, this is Gary Wood from Lansing, Michigan. Well, you know, as far as one of the first upgrades of Internet Explorer, it seemed like we installed that, and I guess it was a corrupted file because it caused us to have to format the hard drive, I believe. But that was, I think, I don't know if that was 3.0, but then there was 4, and then 5 and 6, and now they got 6, I guess. 7 will be out shortly. But, I think people get upgrades because they want the next big thing, you know, and the thing that's better, they feel, than the one before. And the common sense probably answer would be that some things aren't going to work if we don't upgrade some of our products that we use. Because I don't know that anything works with Windows 95 anymore. I kind of doubted it does. But, of course, JAWS, People Freedom Scientific says that the reason JAWS costs so much is because there aren't that many of us out there. And, of course, now your Apple does have a built-in screen reader. I don't know whether JAWS should have Apple support, maybe. But if Apple has their own screen reader built into their computer, then that wouldn't be necessary, I guess. But that's one thing that I guess I try the new the upgrades when I can. But I do hear that some of the things that some of the programs that are upgraded aren't as good as the last ones. Like with the EasyCD Creator, they say that's been less and less accessible the farther up you go with the upgrades. And I hear the Nero 7 is not very accessible for us, where 5.5 was for me, and 6 is fairly accessible for people.
You know, I find some of these statements about upgrades very interesting. This is Mike Calvo, by the way. Because generally, let's say you skip a couple of upgrades on whatever your favorite piece of adaptive technology is. Generally, if you're going to go ahead and get the latest and greatest version, the rule of thumb in this market has been that you pay for the upgrades between the version that you're currently running and the one you want to move to. So sometimes it could be looked at as a form of creative financing, I guess, if you will, just to step your way up, because if you're going to wait a year and a half or two, heck, you might as well buy a whole new adaptive technology product at that point. And I personally would like to see something done about that, about the practices of the companies that require you to pay for each and every upgrade all the way up to the one that you want. If you decide to skip on an upgrade because it doesn't work for you, then you shouldn't be required to pay for it later.
Yeah, this is Chris in Maine, by the way, everyone. I just wanted to jump in here and say this topic's interesting. And also, I think, I don't know, to me it's, I look at it as I think someone said earlier about upsetting when it doesn't work. I think it was you, Anicio. I want to comment to that. I find it upsetting with me, too, when something doesn't work right. For example, certain you know, versions of, on certain versions of JAWS, certain things don't work right compared to other things, you know. It's just, it's like, you know, it's just some things not accessible. I personally, found out that there.
Well, I think that Mike Calvo made a previous comment that I think made a lot of sense about having to pay for upgrades if you skip an upgrade. I think that that's kind of a ridiculous thing to have to do, you know. I think I agree with him on that.
Okay. Let me add a couple of things that I think an access technology company has a right to expect of people. I think that an access technology manufacturer has the right to expect that people who are blind make some effort to learn how to use their product, instead of expecting that the person who's doing access technology for that company will in fact be out there and provide whatever support that person decides they need, when the person's really made no effort to learn the product at all. Second, I think that an access technology company has the right to expect that people who buy their products really do read the license and really do understand what that license says. That license does say that you don't distribute it. That license does say that they're not responsible for your computer. But so does every other license of every other protected or sold product in the world, guys. We're not talking about some special sin that's been committed by the people who make access technology products. I think there are lots of things that we can find to question about the approach of access technology makers, but I think we focus on things that are just flat out unrealistic, and we're going to get nowhere. Because essentially, they can brush what we say off with a little flick, unless we think what we really want to say through pretty carefully, and try to make certain that what we say is reasonable. I mean, it seems to me ludicrous to make comments about the fact that I think that X amount of profit is sufficient, and so made lots of money. Ultimately, unless you've seen those people's tax forms, unless you have access to the books of those companies, you have no idea how much money these folks are making. And more than that, you have some idea of how much Bill Gates is making, but I haven't heard anybody question whether Bill Gates should be allowed to make his trillions of dollars every year. We're setting up a double standard here. We're asking access technology manufacturers to be something that we're not asking anybody else to be. And that seems to me, at the very least, to be unfair, and at the very most, perhaps, to be downright inappropriate. So now that I've shot my wad, I'm sure that people will want to respond.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Angela. Glad you're in here. I disagree with you vehemently, and you know I would. Well, you said it. Mike, I have to agree with you. It's one of the things we agree on. We can agree to disagree and still be friends. But there's no reason you have to pay. I know a person who was at 4.5 and wants to get an upgrade. I think she has to pay $1,000. These people don't have the money for that, and that burns me. Now, Paul, you also said something which kind of bothers me, but that's okay. That's what free talk is. We should make an effort to learn to use the product. Well, we damn well do. But it does not have to be as complicated as it is. I don't care. Sighted people don't have it complicated. They can maybe have a way to use a built-in screen reader with touch screens. Or if you can't use a touch screen, make sure that it works. I don't know about this. Mike, I know, is in the field. And they're making a profit. We don't have to see their tax papers. We just know how they, just from what's going on in the world, in my opinion, is on that, you don't have to you just know that they're doing quite well. Now, Bill Gates, yes, maybe I think there should be other companies. That's why Mac went away from Bill Gates and other companies besides Microsoft, because his trillions of dollars, Microsoft is like an octopus which keeps stretching out for everybody, and I think that's unfair. I mean, he meant well when he started, but they get so big. And I also wanted to say, I think, what was the other comment? Let me see if I can remember it. Somebody said, Angela, mentioned, there was one other comment I missed. Can someone bring it? And I'd like to respond, let your other respond. I just forgot it. I had it about a second ago.
You know, Joe, I strongly have to disagree with a couple of your statements. First of all, I believe that the market is changing. If a product is difficult for a consumer to use, remember, a majority of the products on the market today have been here for at least a decade, in some way, shape, or form, whether it be coming in from DOS or not. The users that have had these products in their hands in the past have generally been experienced computer users. Now is when adaptive technology companies are starting to see new computer users that have never seen a computer before, that are just walking into the market and starting to use computers. It's not the adaptive technology company's fault that they're dealing with people who are ignorant of how computers work. The mainstream, AOL, for example, happened to hit on a GUI, on a graphical user interface that just worked. But it wasn't because people screamed and yelled and said that everybody else was being mean because their interfaces were too difficult. It's not up to the current market people if they can't or they won't or what have you to do it. It's, for example, our company, we focus on making simpler products with less features for people who are new into the market. However, that doesn't mean that there's not a place for a JAWS or for a Window Eyes or for a HAL, because there's plenty of people that are advanced computer users that what we do in some cases may simply be too dumbed down. What there needs to be is a wider variety. I think that open competition is great, and one of the very important parts of that is marketing. And the ACB radio and main menu and this forum here and others have really formed a way for this community to communicate amongst itself and to allow vendors such as myself to market directly and deal with consumers. So I really have to strongly disagree with you. And as far as profits go, I mean, that's a person's choice as a consumer. Either you buy it or you don't. And, you know, eventually another company will come along and pick up the slack if there's enough demand out there. But, you know, just throwing out the baby with the bathwater saying they're wrong and they're bad, I can't agree with you there.
I think we've certainly come to an interesting place. Let me make just a couple of quick comments, and then we'll try to move in another direction. The comments that I'd like to make are to suggest that with access technology out there, if we want products to be simpler, I think that we have to accept the fact that they're going to do less. And I think there are a lot of companies that are attempting to respond in that way. Mike's company certainly is. I think that OpenBook and Kurzweil are both self-voicing products, and if a person's primary need is for reading or for writing letters, then those products will actually be sufficient. There is a toned-down version of JAWS that's been available on the market for the last 2 years. It hasn't sold well. And in fact, they've given it away free with a number of their products. It enables people, I think, to do some web browsing and certainly allows people to do email. I think the reality is that Windows is becoming increasingly complex, and I'm not sure that access technology people have the capacity to make their programs simple in order to do all of the things that people want those programs to do. I believe that that Brian's suggestion of coming out with a number of levels of JAWS is actually a good idea. But we already have people complaining about the professional version and suggesting that all it involves is a different key and that everybody gets the same program. You do actually download the same program, but a number of the features that you need for the professional version certainly cost money to develop. I think the other issue is that I think that more and more of us would be dissatisfied by finding ourselves at a place where we buy the easy version, and then there are some things we want to do, and it just doesn't work, and somehow that becomes the access technology manufacturer's fault. They're requiring us to upgrade to a higher version just to be able to do such and such an application, and that application may very well be different depending on who you are. The next question that I want to ask actually goes back to an issue that got raised at the beginning of the program, and that is, what is the responsibility of the people who develop an operating system? Clearly, Apple and Microsoft have taken different approaches.
This is Larry from Phoenix. I want to go back to Paul's last question about what responsibility do the software developers, these people who make operating systems, have to us. And you've got to keep in mind a couple of things. Like it or not, it all goes back to the marketplace and what the market is demanding. And when you take all computer users, sighted, non-sighted, whatever, and put them, you know, all in a room, whatever you want to do, we're outnumbered. And that's just the way it is. And I'm not saying it's right, I'm not saying it's wrong, but that's the way it is. And companies have, do, and will continue to respond to demands in that way. For me to be unhappy with Microsoft about, you know, the inaccessibility of their Windows product, you know, I can be that way, and rightfully so, but I've got to keep in mind that I'm a small part of that market, and I'm probably upsetting a few by saying that, but that's just the way it is. I do like the approach that Apple's taken. Prompted, for whatever reason, I think there's a couple of reasons, but they've decided to include this these features in their operating system itself. I don't have to go out and spend, buy a computer, an operating system, and drop another $1,000 for a screen reader. I've been trying to get in and haven't been able to, and I wanted to quickly respond to some of Joe's comments, I believe Joe from Boston. I appreciate where you're coming from on some of your issues. Having to pay for, you know, if I don't take JAWS 7.0's upgrade and I wait and get 9.0 when it comes out, I should not have to pay for every upgrade in between. And I'm not familiar with them doing that, but, you know, maybe they do. And I do definitely disagree with that. I think that is really an unfair practice. And I think if Microsoft were to do that with Windows, say, I was at Windows 98 and wanted to go to XP, and they turned around and said, well, that's fine, but we're going to make you pay the licensing fee or pay a fee because you didn't do Windows ME in between. I think people would be up in arms over it, and there's no way in the world that would be allowed. So I think you're rightfully upset about that. But we live in a capitalist society, and these folks absolutely are allowed to make a profit. I might disagree with how they do that, and all of those things, but by golly, it's America, and go make a profit. And for us to say, you as a company, no matter how noble your business is or whatever, for us to say, you know, well, you shouldn't be doing that on the backs of poor blind people is absolutely ridiculous, and I just really disagree with that. There are programs out there, be it assistive technology loan funds that will offer somebody with a disability a loan at a very low interest rate without too much consideration of the credit issue. But I work in the area of employment and helping folks with disabilities of all disabilities find work. And when I work with a blind person, the number one issue I inevitably run into is the technology piece. employers not wanting to pay out that kind of money, and the individual not being able to afford it, and maybe these loan programs aren't right for everybody. And so I do support the idea that there should be some kind of intervention in terms of some kind of program that will help folks get this technology. We've got 70% of people with visually impaired, you know, more than 70% of people with visually impaired not working. And I know one of the main issues I strongly believe is access to technology. And dealing, you know, for in Arizona right now, if I'm a blind person and I want to get a job or I've got a job offer and I'm not hooked up with rehab, I've got, you know, order of selection and all these things I have to deal with, and it's going to be, I'm not going to have that opportunity for that job by the time I get to that point where they're going to pay for it. So there are some issues there. There definitely needs to be help for folks to pay for these, and I don't know how we do it, but I really agree with you that there are people out there who could benefit from this technology who cannot afford it, who may not qualify for these special loan programs that are out there. So I agree with that. As for operating systems and the demands that, you know, we certainly need to be voicing our demands and asking them to make them accessible and to do these things. But in the end, we have to realize, like it or not, and accept that we are but a small percentage of the market.
Sydney's here from Maine.
Well, like one thing, I use a program called SoundForge, and I like to know how to use all the features with that. And it's pretty, in some ways, it can be a complicated program, but I like to learn as much how to use that as I can, a sound editing program.
I agree with you from Maine. I'll be quick. I don't know your name. I may answer something. Yeah, but mainstream media doesn't even know about that. They don't even do shows on blind people. You never hear them talking about us on the radio. And they always talk about the Ray Charles and the Stevie Wonder and the Ronnie Millsaps. Why don't those people get involved? I know I heard from Kurzweil that Ronnie Millsap called up and, no, Stevie Wonder and wanted it for free or something. I mean, come on. You know, there are people out there who are very fortunate in the world of the blindness. They could be a lot of help. And those people are millionaires like Jose Feliciano. I think we have to get together and get out and be on everybody's ear to make them listen, because we are the silent minority in the background. Sorry, I forgot to say my name, Joe from Boston. The silent minority in the background. And these programs are bigger and bloated. They're bloated. They should just make a program that comes with the operating system built in, record and play, and MP3, and, you know, a few, just all built in one. I don't know how your Apple is that way. Maybe it's that way. I don't know. But we have to find some way to make things more simplified. It's like the same with the cell phone technologies. Oh, Lord, don't get me started on those. They're so tiny and so hard to work with. It's unbelievable. Motorola was supposed to put out speech, and a large one for people like myself. I've seen some of them are like cigarette packs, and they're extremely hard to use. And a very nice person from the Disability Center helped me. He says, look, if you get a new one eventually, you'll get a free upgrade. If it hadn't been for him, I would have been out $400. The company just wanted my money. These people don't seem to be aware of our problem, or they're not taking an interest, or just something isn't registering in their head. I don't know what it is. Okay, thanks.
Brian here, and this will be my last time at the microphone because I got to go pack some boxes for the U.S. Postal Service in the morning, or somebody's not getting their Christmas presents. Anyway, a couple of things here. One is, if we try to convince the sighted world that because we are blind or visually impaired, and as a result of that, either directly or indirectly, we're low income, and therefore the world ought to cut us a break as a result of that, I think that that's a two-edged sword. Because at the same time we're saying that, we're indicating that we want to be treated as equals. Well, you can't have special treatment and equal treatment simultaneously. It just doesn't work that way. So while I empathize with those who are not gainfully employed and therefore in a position to pay for this themselves, if it's for vocational purposes, with the exception of a few states like Arizona, where you're under order of selection and therefore just needing it because you've got a job offer if you only had it, that's certainly that would be sufficient to ride you up to the very top of the pond here in Massachusetts, and you'd have the technology. It would be installed, and you, the state agency would hire my company to come out and do the training for you for employment purposes. I'm very concerned about technology not for employment purposes, but for home use. I'd like a good problem solved to that one. But for right now, I think that we have an incredible resource out there in the third-party access companies. It's an uphill battle for them. It's an uphill battle for us. This is like juggling oranges, you know. We have the operating system to keep in the air. We have the application we're trying to run, word processor or whatever, and we have the screen reader or screen magnifier going at the same time. That's a lot to keep in the air. It's not going to be easy, but I think that if we bash the companies that produce the products for us and speak about how they ought to somehow or other meet our needs because we're needy, I think that we're shooting ourselves in the foot. End of comments for the evening. Wish you all a happy holiday season, and for those who celebrate it with me, Christmas as well. Good night, everyone.
Yeah, I agree with Brian. Merry Christmas. yeah, I think the key is priorities. I think sometimes we complain about things being kind of too expensive, but I think that sometimes we have to look at what is important for us to spend money on, and that may be different for each person, but maybe it's a matter of priorities. What if you really want something bad enough, you'll take the time or save the money to make it happen so that you can have what you want or what you need sometimes.
I want to comment briefly on Brian's comment. I believe that you can have both sides. You can get quality and you can get training too, because the commission doesn't want to pay, or any of these groups don't want to pay for just to have a computer at home, y'all. Everybody is not going to be working, and I agree with him on that. It has to be done, and we have an uphill battle, and we have to try if we can get mainstream media interested instead of just talking on the radio about politics, talk about problems of the blind, problems of technology, and maybe next week we'll have a topic on abandoned blind people. I'd love to see that. Some of us have been thrown away, and get radio stations to take an interest in this. They don't seem to be interested now. If I was working at a radio station running a board, it'd be a different story, but I'd probably still prefer the old board with the pots. Turn the pots up and down and the keys and stuff, and they still have them around, but you have to get them by the internet, because everything is mouse and touch oriented today, and sometimes that isn't always the right idea. But we've got to get these people to take an interest in people that live in the homes. I know some people do get a lot of help, but there are many, many, many of us that are disappointed here on this net talk and don't get the assistance they need from the state agencies.
Well, guys, I think we are rapidly approaching the point at which, exciting though this discussion is, we're probably going to have to let Joe have the last word. I have a few comments that I want to make, and I'm not going to try to score points. I'm going to try to go in some directions that I think may help some folks. First, someone asked earlier, and I think it may have been Angela, where do we get information on what screen readers are out there? There is a publication called Access World that's put out by the American Foundation for the Blind, and the American Foundation is now making Access World available free on the internet, and I would certainly urge you to go take a look for it if you can, because they do review products and have done some comparison about screen readers. I don't think so far that they've done as good a job as they might. I don't think that objectively a lot of us know which screen readers best. Most of the time, I think we rely on subjective opinions in order to make those determinations, rather than on an objective test that ask screen readers to actually work in some difficult environments. I think the other point, or a couple of points that I'd like to make, concern both the issues of cost and availability. everybody is talking about getting into, quote, the computer business as if it has to be an expensive proposition even in the Windows environment. It really doesn't, you know. There are a lot of companies that are recycling computers, and there are a number of organizations of blind people who have gotten together and made these products available or these recycled computers available to folks who are blind. I know that here in Miami, I did that for a while, and I actually gave it up because there was very little demand for it. At the same time as people who are blind seem to want a brand new computer rather than a reconditioned one, they also want an absolutely long-term functioning version of a screen reading program instead of being prepared to operate with a demo version, which they can download free of charge, which will run for 45 minutes at a shot until God gets old. I guess I'm making the point in order to suggest to folks that while low income is certainly an issue, I don't think that it's a real bar to people getting involved in computers if they want to. No, they may not have the latest bells and whistles. Yes, they certainly will be able to do all the things that they categorically need to with a computer. And I would urge that we begin to try to sell both refurbished computers and the idea of using demos of products to a wider range of people who are blind. And the third and last thing that I wanted to make again on another issue, but one that's kind of come up all the way through here, is the cost of training, if it's provided by a commission for the blind, is extremely high. But I think that we're putting pressure in the wrong place. We're putting pressure on commissions for the blind when our pressure really needs to be on the educational system. Whether it's on high schools, whether it's on adult education, whether it's on colleges and universities. It seems to me that if the educational system has already accepted an obligation to provide courses that train people to use a range of software, they ought to be prepared to develop courses that will teach us how to use access technology. If I were a commission for the blind, I would probably say to a person who is blind, no matter who they were and no matter where they were in terms of job readiness, well, even if you think you've got a job, we're not going to get you a computer unless you can demonstrate and show us that you actually have some competence so that it's likely that you'll actually use the computer if we buy it for you. Because the other reality that I think a lot of agencies are dealing with is that they buy technology that blind people say they need and want, and then that technology sits on the shelf. So where are we with all of the discussion that we've come to tonight? Well, I think we've certainly indicated that at least in this group, those of us who believe, for the most part, that access technology vendors are operating effectively and appropriately are in a minority. There certainly appears to be a fairly widespread notion that access technology companies aren't treating blind people fairly, and that changes need to happen in order to assure blind people that they get the kinds of assistance that it's believed they ought to from access tech companies. I think that vendors should probably listen to this program and recognize that they have a public relations job to do. Somehow, they have to become more directly associated with people who are blind across the board and help them to understand better the economics of their situation. I think that in the long run, what we're going to have to do is to begin to create a more realistic and appropriate dialogue between ourselves and the makers of access technology, so that we can come to some kind of a modus vivendi that will enable both sides to get enough of what they want, that it's appropriate. I'd like to thank everyone for participating in the discussion tonight. I think it was very spirited and very appropriate. I'd like to thank everyone who attended, and I would like to thank those of us who, or those of you who were able to listen to us on ACB Radio. The issue of access technology vendors and people who are blind is not an easy one, but I think that we've established tonight that there are a broad range of concerns, issues, and steps out there that we can take. Thank you again for being with us. Look forward to seeing you next week. So, on behalf of all of us here on Tuesday Topics, this is Paul Edwards in Miami, Florida, saying good night. Thanks for listening on ACB Radio, the voice of the blind community.